Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Rule the Roost podcast. We've said last week we're inconsistent as fuck, and that's just the way it is now. Today, I'm with Mr. Raj Baines. Seb's pulled another sickie. How you doing, Raj?
Yeah, I'm not too bad, mate. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm good. And in his place, albeit a week late, we've got
people from the same social background.
everyone's favourite Evertonian, Simon Borley. All right, lads.
Good evening, my friends.
How the devil are you?
Alive. That'll fucking do for now, I suppose, won't it?
How was your shopping trip?
Go and fuck off. I've been in Baymark for 4 hours with my daughter. She's 14. Get the fuck.
He spent a tenner. He now owns the shop.
What were you doing for 4 hours in Primark, mate?
Right. Ask. Do you know when you've got, you know when you have kids? Have you got kids? You got kids?
No, I don't.
Jackie, you know when your cat's 14 and it wants to go to the cat version of Primark?
Pets at, I don't know, are we pets at home or something?
Yeah, Primark at home. Yeah, Petsmark.
Jack, have you discovered the magic of pets at home yet?
I haven't.
It's brilliant, right?
Argos is the closest I've been.
No. Pets at home, it's like taking your bird to the zoo without paying the stupid money.
Oh, yeah, because they've got rabbits and shit, haven't they?
Oh, they've got actual animals there.
Yeah, rabbits. Guinea pigs, fish, rats, gerbils, reptiles. You can adopt animals that other people have kicked out and stuff. It's brilliant.
They're like when Madonna goes to Africa.
Isn't that where you found Borley in a cage at Pets at Home?
No, come on. I'm a nice guy. Honestly.
Teens wear at Primark.
Seb was scared of you, I think, when he met up with you early on in the season.
Why was he scared of me?
Just because, I think, because he's such a small man and you're bigger than he is.
All right. I took him on a lovely tour of Goodison around, showed him the sights and introduced him to a few of our friends.
No, he said you couldn't have been any nicer. He was really happy to see all statues and stuff like that.
You had a hug, didn't you, I think?
Yeah, I gave him a hug because he shit himself and said, don't pick me up. Because he listened to the previous podcast. I don't think he realised how big I was going to be fair.
How long did you take him to Primark for?
After I fisted him behind the bike, yeah, it was only half an hour because he couldn't walk.
Oh, it's always nice.
We found our level.
I was going to say it don't take us long.
We've gone. We're
doing this backwards, though, aren't we? Because we usually have you on before a game, but now at least we get to laugh at you for having lost.
Fucking hell! There we go.
It's nice to talk about a defeat after it's actually happened.
Yeah, it is. It's very fucking unusual for us.
Can we just, like, the note on this, would you rather we, like, took the piss or did a whole kind of patronising, well done, I mean, not many teams score two goals at White Hart Lane.
Take the piss.
Right. No, what I want to say is, before you start either approach, right, I just want to ask, are you guys like really, really gutted because Arsenal Fan TV is boss and spurred on? Spurred on looks like what Will from the Inbetweeners would look like if he explains it to.
I actually think the Tottenham fans took so heavily against it. I think it's shut down now, hasn't it?
Yeah, because It was one. I mean, to give Arsenal Fan TV its due, and I hate to give it any sort of credit, but to give it its dues, it is a proper fan-run thing. Whereas Spurred On was always just, it was just set up by a TV company trying to pretend like it was a load of fans. And you could tell that, though. It wasn't authentic at all when you saw it.
They'd hired, like, comedians and stuff, aren't they, and tried to do it a bit.
Yeah, and, like, sort of drama school kids to host it and, you know.
They were just called Rhys and Barnaby.
Well, that's who you normally find down the... Yeah, there's loads of Barnabys down the Tottenham High Road.
I could just imagine it down outside the guy. Oh, Barnaby's off again. He's kicking off with the Arsenal.
Barnaby, leave Tarpman alone. Leave Tarpman alone and come over here with Wilson.
Is there an Everton fan TV at all?
Is there, yeah. We can't take the piss because it's run by a ginger tramp and a cripple. So...
Have you never been on?
No, we've never been on, funny enough.
Because I had this theory that it wasn't something that sort of Northern clubs were going to get involved in, because you don't really need to give us the excuse to sound off about something, because to get someone to stop after that would be
oh, mate, Liverpool have got that. Oh, they've got that car crash one now, haven't they?
You don't count Liverpool as Northern, though, do you? Liverpool's its own little thing.
He's the one that got really famous as saying Rent Boy, didn't he, over and over and over again.
Chelsea Rent Boys. That was after Gerrard slipped, wasn't it?
They charge for all their content now, so I haven't seen anything worth taking the piss out of.
Charge for it?
Yes, they released it. They've done a little press release.
No. Redmen TV charge for everything. Toffee TV still produce free stuff.
Yeah, but they've gone on to that fucking Parentian thing, haven't they? Where you've got to subscribe.
I thought that was just an opt. So I thought Patreon, isn't it? I thought that was just a case of if you like. So, like us doing this pod, if we set it up, we've already spoken about it and that we're just not going to do that. But if we were to do
it,
it'd be a case
cheek of asking people to fucking pay to listen.
Well, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, that's pretty much what me and Si said.
Because it is. It's just people talking. And do you really want to pay to watch people talk?
People do, though. Some of these guys get.
If we actually put effort into this, then I might think twice about it. But these are the conversations me and Jack have when nothing's been recorded, so it's not special.
Do you know what? I think that's why we get on so well, you know, because that's Marlon's size approach to podcasting for the past 11 years is, fuck it.
Are you doing it again now? Not in your personal life, but I mean the podcast,
no,
do you?
No, we pretend that we're bothered for about 3 weeks every year, and then that's about it, really, isn't it, sorry?
So it's up there with your fantasy football teams as well, then.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the password to the podcast website now.
What happens more times a season? You lot record a podcast or Ross Barkley has a good game?
Oh,
fuck off, Kat.
Oh. I tell you what. Dele Alli's a good footballer. It ties in. He's not as good instinctively as Ross Barkley. He's good at thinking about things, and we know Ross Barkley's not good at thinking.
I don't know. It's you, Roger. Is it Seb? I think it's you. Like, we've spoken before about the fact we actually quite like Ross Barkley, though.
I think if he was coached properly, you could make him into a player, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. The thing that sets Ross Barkley apart from Dele Alli is he hasn't got the most slappable face in the world.
Oh, fuck, weird, man. I said that to my son yesterday. How much would you love to punch Dele Alli?
Oh, I'd never get bored of that. And it's not,
I reckon it's quite hard, though, you know.
Dele Alli's quite hard. Have you just said Dele Alli's quite hard?
I reckon he is.
I think I'm as hard as shit.
What do you reckon, babe? Come on, you got to back me up here, Baines. You got.
I reckon he's dirty. I reckon he'd be one to sort of scratch and poke at you.
He'd scratch you.
I reckon Jack's new cat harder than Dele Alli.
It's really cute, in fairness, Jack's new cat. It is. You look at some pictures. It's absolutely tiny. It looks a bit like a joke when there's a picture of Jack holding it, because it is so small.
Have you ever seen that famous that that gorilla that does all the sign language and stuff in that sanctuary in America.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah.
all those pictures of her with her pet cat. There's pretty much... That's like pictures of me and the kitten at the moment.
It's that beard, Jack.
Yeah.
It's that beard.
I think, Jack, weren't we bullying you on the literally the last time we spoke to Lisa about you not having proposed to Charlotte, and like conveniently like a week before we speak to him again, you've done it?
I think it's the time before last, like, me because I go to the cinema all the time with Charlotte.
Yeah,
the last time was that I haven't proposed yet, and now this time it's about my fucking kitten. So
right now, do your have your listeners heard how
me
you proposed?
Won't beware. That's all I say.
Have your listeners heard how you proposed?
Yeah,
we told a story last time.
Can we have the abridged version so we can skit you?
I took the day off work. She works about 10 minutes away from where we live. I told her to come home for lunch, and then I proposed and cooked her an oven pizza.
You classy twat.
I was expecting a private jet to Paris, and I think she probably was.
Wait, did the pizza have pineapple on it?
No pineapple. I didn't want to upset the Icelandics.
Didn't you bottle it in Paris, though, Jack? You've taken it to Paris and like Reykjavik within like 2 weeks beforehand. So she's probably thinking he's not done it on these two lovely sort of couples retreats we've had, but at home of a lunchtime with a oven pizza. That was it, mate.
It was all part of the long con. That was my, because I wasn't going to do it there. I wasn't going to do it in Paris and have everyone being, because everyone was saying straight away before we went, you're going to do it, aren't you? You're going to do it. I was like, nah, not now you've said that, you can't. So,
was that too air?
Yeah.
Hang on, I've just been distracted. My daughter's just walked in. What do you want?
Hi.
She's just saying hi. Say hello to everybody. Say hello, all you Spurs listeners.
Yeah.
Spurs.
What's that, are you?
Sat on my spare. Fuck's sake. You can tell I haven't done any sort of teaching with football with my daughter, can't you?
No, you're only teaching about Everton.
Indoctrinated. Did you hear that?
Yeah. So Jack, was the ring expensive?
It was a little bit. Not, you know.
How much is a bag of Haribo Megamix these days?
Hey, did you know when the eggs in the Haribo Megamix? They're not eggs, they're actual UFOs.
What?
So it's not supposed to be an egg?
Have a look on the packet where it's got Star Mix on it. It's got a rocket on it, and the egg is a UFO.
Well, to be honest, that does make sense because it's Star Mix. So why would there be an egg in it?
Well, I've no fucking idea. Why would there be a ring in it?
You're not fucking lying, are you?
Saturn.
Oh mate, but do you know what I'll take that one. The one I will not take though is, have you seen the current meme doing the rounds that people are saying the Monster Munch foot is actually a little monster standing up? Because that's
bollocks. That's total shit, mate. It's a claw. It's a hand with claws on.
Yeah, not having that.
I mean, I'm much older than you, so Monster Munch would be an alpha. Monster Munch used to be different than that, though. They used to be fucking well different than what they are now.
Yeah, when this was all Fields, Monster Munch was massive, weren't they? When the packets were in black and white, and you used to get them in a chip packet.
Yeah.
In a newspaper that you was at like 1898.
And you just rubbed it on a cow for the beef flavour.
I'll have a quarter of a Monster Munch, please. That would
be 2 groats, please, sir.
And there's your heckle for your change. So on to the football,
At least they're not selling popcorn at White Hart Lane.
Tom Davies is good, lads.
Oh, mate.
Tom Davies is sex.
He's fucking. You know what? He's just a scouts footballer. That's what we used to. That's what your stereotypical Windy Harbour Sunday League socks down, rough as fuck footballer. He's boss. I love him.
He's decent. I can see why he would. I hope we sign him.
Fuck yourself.
Yeah, like Kevin Morales.
Yeah, did you see how hesitant he was with that site? Yeah, he's good. I hope we sign him. I know, we'll say it too loud.
Is he still playing for you, Kevin Morales?
Yeah.
He's still getting paid by us. He's not, I wouldn't say he played. He came on Saturday, on Sunday,
yeah,
didn't he?
Came on Sunday, yeah.
Yeah, no, that my banter fell by the wayside there, lads. I'm not going to lie. That was supposed to be you know.
Oh, yeah. He plays in the same way that Ena Valencia plays for us.
He scored. Well, I mean, we'd let him score. Like, it would have been embarrassing had he not scored.
Which to be fair, you can't really skit anything about. We can't say anything about your defending for that goal, because our defender for the fucking third goal
and the second goal
and the and second goal. Goal and the first goal. Funny enough,
where do you guys stand on the old Harry Kane versus Romelu Lukaku debate? I mean, are you going to lie and say that you prefer Lukaku? Are you going to be honest with us and give us the correct answer?
I prefer Lukaku for his power, but I like that type of player. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'd prefer him to have Harry Kane's instincts in front of goal.
The funny thing is, you know, they were saying on the Squawker podcast earlier, and I sort of agree with this, in that if you were a manager sort of managing a team outside of the Premier League, you'd probably take Lukaku. But a Premier League manager would probably take Harry Kane.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
I think that, like Baldy said about the power, there was a couple of things. I mean, his goal, he put Vertonghen on his arse by confusing him more than anything. There was a little incident with Eric Dier when Dier tried to barge into him and basically bounced about 9 foot off him. And that's the kind of power you want. I want Lukaku to have Harry Kane shooting boots from 25 yards.
Yeah.
And to try it more often. That finish was a good finish. I mean, he was given far too much room by Idrissa Gana Gueye, which I never thought I'd say about anyone. But
he's fantastic. Me and Seb told you he was a good sign in the summer.
Yeah,
he was, but he didn't half let Kane wander off.
He did a bit, yeah.
You know, I think you don't expect him
to be popping it in from there.
You don't, but he's got goal side. You think, you know, he has got a dig on him. Just put a hand on his shirt, take the yellow card.
It's just a little nudge with the fucking hip. And the biggest problem with it was, it's just a guy that gave us cover in two positions because Gareth Bale was playing.
Yeah.
Do you know, the one thing, I'm not saying either of you lads have said this, but one of the main things I've disagreed with consistently in terms of like the whole Kane-Lukaku comparison is that a lot of the kind of the noise around it has all suggested that Harry Kane, you know, he's great at, you know, he's got this sort of predatory instinct and he can score goals, but he doesn't really have much else to his game. He doesn't have much in the way of technique or awareness and all this kind of stuff, which I just think this is the sort of stuff that seems to follow Kane about, which isn't true. Like, Kane is actually, he's not just a striker. The way in which he operates off the ball and outside the box is actually fucking brilliant. And that's what has set him apart from players like Soldado and even Janssen, who has just come and been absolutely shy for us.
I think with Kane, as you say, you know, his awareness and his ability is not a question from my eyes. And I think Sai will agree with me. He gains more space with his brain. He's like Naismith. He'll have 5 yards. No, you know what I mean. You know what
That's
I mean by that, Sai.
Backhanded compliment.
Yeah, he gains like Stephen Naismith.
for getting into space, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
For getting into space.
Prefer Teddy Sheringham as a comparison.
The thing is, though, Evertonians level almost exactly the same criticism at Romelu Lukaku.
Yeah.
They'll call him lazy. I mean, they'll say his first touch is the same as Jack the Ripper's. you know,
first touch like Jimmy Savile in Broadmoor.
It's just, you know.
Jesus Christ.
So that gets levelled. And I think, I don't really understand what it is, because Lukaku's on 18, Harry Kane's on 19 goals. Why can't we just enjoy that?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you look at strikers of the past, Andy Gray at Everton, never moved outside the width of the 6 yard box.
Gary Lineker. Tony Cotty. Adrian Eid.
Yeah. None of them.
Never seen him back the halfway line.
Yeah. And that's what we enjoyed. But we enjoyed the fact that they scored goals. You know, how much running did Jurgen Klinsmann ever do? So it's enjoy the goals that they give us. And yeah, it's you know, I think the modern football fan expects too much out of too many players too soon.
I think half the problem with Harry Kane as well, especially when you compare him with somebody like Lukaku, is that aesthetically, people have I'm being serious. People have a sort of a presumption of how he is, because he don't run the cleanest. He isn't the quickest. He does bumble about a bit. He speaks a bit silly. His face looks a bit dumb. And people don't take him as seriously because he doesn't look like, you know, Alan Shearer looks.
Is that to be known as the Jamie Vardy syndrome?
Well, no, because Jamie Vardy looks like a little scally that you get
from version of Harry Kane.
No, because he's got no meat on him. Harry Kane's at least he's built and he's taller.
As I say, mini me.
He's an horrible prick, Jamie Vardy.
I don't like the Jamie Vardy comparison.
You can tell.
It just doesn't sit right with me as a human being, does Jamie Vardy?
Oh, you'll be good.
I'd like to go out for a bevy with him just to see how much he gets sparked in Liverpool.
No, he'd be one of them that he'd say something and then he'd be the one to sort of step up but make sure his mates were in the way to
Standing behind the table, throwing stools. Yeah.
Is he from Liverpool, Vardy? Where's he from?
Sheffield.
Sheffield. He's Yorkshire, isn't he?
I can't wait to play this back when you sign him in the summer.
Oh, fucking hell. Arsenal dodged a bullet there, the bastards. He chucked about 30 mil at Leicester, didn't he?
Did he?
He turned them down. Yeah. He turned them down for a payday. He essentially sort of batted his eyelids at them to get a bigger contract again from Leicester and ended up staying.
He did very well there, didn't he?
I mean, staying at Leicester is a good thing, then yeah, he did. But there's
a trend for talking about setting your kids up for life at the moment, isn't there? So, you know, he's done that.
He made an incredible job of not being able to finish off a man on one leg.
Yeah, he's got a broken hand.
He still didn't finish off a man with one leg.
Do you think a bit of that was looking at him and thinking, if I beat him up, I'm essentially beating up a disabled?
I'm not sure. It was just, I found it, the whole thing was a bit of a farce, if we're being honest, because he's not a heavyweight boxer.
No.
And sort of David is sort of, he were fighting on Dave a couple of months ago. He's not, it's a joke, a literal joke.
He put someone on his ass with a fucking range finding jab in on that Dave fight, which I see in my
ass
over.
There was that clip as well where Bellew went in to touch gloves at the start of the round and he went to knock his head off.
Yeah.
It was a comedy fight.
It was a spectacular miss, wasn't it?
Oh, mate. Say, you know how long I box for. Guess how much I see in my ass when he's on that.
I think I heard you.
Oh, I was fucking fuming when he's on that. I boxed for a few years, lads, all right? And doing that, just even in a spar, just doing that is just it's not done.
No, it's not cricket, is it? I mean, Bellew was doing like a nice thing of touching gloves and sort of doing it, and it was the cheapest shot possible.
Fucking unbelievable. As I wanted to kick his fucking head in, never mind punch him, as I wanted to get him in the corner and knee him in the face and everything.
Yeah, I think they're both. I'm glad Bellew's made his money. I mean, I'm not too sure about his insistence on letting us know that his family's set up for life now.
Well, exactly. I mean, do you know what I mean?
Just keep it to yourself.
How much think he earned from that Rocky film as well? He was in Creed, didn't he?
Yeah.
He won't have earned much from that. It wasn't a big box office hit, was it? Have you seen it?
Yeah, it's all right. I mean, he's not great in it, but it's a decent film. It's just
an updated version of Rocky 1.
Yeah,
basically. I said after the fight when he was talking, I said to the best, I wish he'd shut up about money. Do it for the sport. Do it. Say you wanted to fight him because you hated him, not because you wanted 2.8 million quid.
Their best mate routine after it had finished was interesting as well, because that nobody's going to be wanting to fight David A now, and Bellew's going to get his fights at cruiserweight. So if they do it again, how are they going to make it seem as if it's as attractive? Because they can't sell the fight in the same way.
Tyson Fury's coming out of retirement, and
have you seen the size of Tyson Fury?
Dillian White called Bellew out earlier.
Has he?
Yeah.
Oh, for fuck's sake!
Have you seen the size of Tyson Fury though? The pictures that are released. He's a wardrobe now. He's let himself go. He's another one that's sort of in the Jamie Vardy camp of sort of questionable human beings, to say the very least.
I fully agree with you there. Terrible questionable things. Did you get any questions off the tweet that you sent out?
No, they'll fucking ignore us now because no one listens anymore. We literally just do this and talk this sort of shite that we've done for the past 25 minutes now.
Hang on, just let me check.
The only people that listen anymore are Seb's mum and girlfriend.
You got two. You got two questions. One from Aman Badial. I apologise if I've said that wrong. And Mark Lynch.
What do they say, Baller? You give us your best presenting voice and let us know. Give
so
us
from,
a Siller impression.
On fire, fucking what? Die.
No.
Want me to be silent because I'm rotten? Anyway.
Wasn't she like a super Tory, wasn't she?
Yes.
I never knew that.
No one cares about her in Liverpool. She comes from literally across the road where I was born from. No one liked her.
They've put a plaque up around the back of my bird's work because the club where she worked with the Beatles was there. And I just think it's amazing that they've put a plaque up for a wool Tory who got fingered by four fellas in the alleyway.
Yeah. They've got a statue of her standing in Cabin Walks with her arms up where it looks like she's feeling balls.
While we're not on any sort of football thing, was did you guys see the documentary the BBC put out on Purple Aki?
No.
The BBC made a documentary about Purple Aki and put it on BBC. Yeah,
genuinely.
Where they went and actually interviewed people who'd it apparently gone to feel the muscles off. But this is Purple Aki when I was growing up in Leeds was like a myth that like kids would tell you about on the playground as like a joke. And we didn't think it was a real thing. So when it actually like came up and it's the BBC reporting on it.
Oh mate, Aki was fucking legend. I mean, stuff of legends. He was a handy man. Like he used to be able to scrap. I was in the Royal Hospital one time and he walked in with a screwdriver stuck on his shoulder where he'd been attacked and just asked to take it out. He walked into the gym I was using at the time. We were doing and we'd ended up going into the weights room and we were doing some weights. Now, mate of mine at the time was a big lad, I mean, proper big lad, and very well stacked, we'll call him. And Aki came into the changes and said, "How much can you squat?" To which my mate replied, "About as much power as I can put through your head through that locker." So all four of us ended up fucking, that was an entertaining afternoon. That, but everything you hear about Aki's more than likely true.
I remember because it was, I think it was actually called The Man Who Squeezes Muscles. It was called like Searching for Purple Aki or something. It's only about 15 minutes long, but it was just one of those bizarre things. Again, I thought this were sort of made up because he was a bodybuilder, wasn't he?
Bodybuilder in his youth, yeah. Big fella.
There's a nouveau trendy street in Liverpool. It's called Lark Lane, and at the bottom of Lark Lane, there's a bar called Aki's.
Yep.
And the sign is purple.
Yep.
He is sort of like a I don't know what to call him, like a myth or a legend. It seems
He's an urban legend.
He is real. I mean, my lad seen him on the train coming home from Manchester. He was coming home from a rugby match and he was on the train. And he's barred from all the rugby clubs in Liverpool. So, yeah.
If anybody's never heard of him, just sort of Google Purple Aki in the.
I'm Googling him now. Never heard of him.
Really? Wow. Maybe it's just one of those things that you only hear about.
Probably a northern thing, though, isn't it? Because I don't think he ever reached down south.
He never got sent away, did he? Didn't he? There was a manslaughter thing, I think.
Yeah, he chased the kids onto the railway lines. And the kid died.
Oh, he looked scary.
moving back to football, though.
Shall I ask these two questions that you've got on the
Twitter
feed? Aman Badial, I do apologise if that's wrong. Are the US sports-style handshakes a ploy to prepare us for the NFL nights at the new stadium? I'm guessing that's aimed at Spurs.
Yeah, do you not remember when we scored the first goal that Dele Alli and Harry Kane... what did you two make of the handshake? Did it sort of rub salt in the wound?
It's just something else that makes me want to punch Dele Alli really square in the face.
It's one of the highest forms of cuntery, though, isn't it?
Was it not part of you that was like impressed of how well choreographed it was?
No,
I am quite impressed that Harry Kane managed to remember more than six steps. Because I mean, you've got to look at Harry Kane and you've got to think, what did he forget to remember that? Can he not tie his shoelaces up now? Is that the thing that left his memory so that he can remember that handshake?
It shoves out information as he gets new stuff. Ooh, must score goals.
As long as he remembers that, I'm all right with him. Two rules of Harry Kane: score goals and don't take corners, and we'll be all right.
Yeah. But I think fucking Barkley shall follow the don't take corners rule as well. But, we've got another question from Mark Lynch. How much do Everton regret not getting to Soho? And then, then crucial yesterday. I think Mark may have been on the drugs.
Yeah, I think he's taking a piss.
Have we spoken to you since deadline day?
When we stole Moussa Sissoko off you.
Have I told you the story that I was told about this?
Oh no, because what the reports were and what I'd sort of heard through the grapevine was that he was on his way to Everton. Ronald Koeman had stayed late. You'd had your bid accepted and whatnot. And Sissoko essentially ghosted you, turned off his phone. Agent did the same, and they just turned up to Spurs. And first Everton heard of it, he'd taken his sort of medical at Spurs, and we'd ended up lumbered with him instead of you. We take no victory from this, by the way. We've lost here.
Several football clubs.
Do you know what, lads? The thing is, like, we generally on this pod, even if, you know, it doesn't look favourable, we'll always try and look, generally speaking, for the positives in any of the players aren't doing well. Sissoko is shite. Like, he's just terrible.
He does some good things. Like, if you give him a really clear field to run into, he'll do it absolutely brilliantly. He'll do it really quickly. But he's got the first touch of a trampoline. Seb put it brilliantly in that he said Moussa Sissoko's second touch is always a tackle, which is one of the best things I've ever heard. It's probably the best thing Seb's ever said. Pretty much sums him up.
Funny enough, I was going to say that people say that about Lukaku as well. I was going to say them exact words before. People always say Lukaku's second touch is.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's bizarre, but Sissoko's name was not mentioned at Goodison Park by any of the coaching staff, any of the scouting staff, any of the management team until deadline day when Newcastle rang up and said he was available.
Mm-hmm.
Now, basically, I think what had happened is Newcastle had said, oh, well, he's going to go to Spurs, but we need to get more money for him. So they rang Everton and said, Moussa Sissoko's available because... there's several people at football clubs that do the contracts for signing players. And one of the people said that around 10:30 in the morning, he was told, just get any old contract and put Moussa Sissoko's name on it just in case.
Get one out of the draw.
So the bid went in, which essentially meant that Spurs had to match it. So we did Newcastle a favour. But it's, I think we had to look like we really wanted him just so it didn't look like we'd done Newcastle a favour.
Hey, Shai, did anybody use one of the Raquelme contracts that they keep in the draw?
No, we've got three Yarmolenko contracts.
Yarmolenko, Tipex Yarmolenko, won't put Moussa Sissoko.
It's a crazy business, but now, yeah, we were quite glad. But then we went and spent 30 million on Yannick Bolasie. Well, so
has he gone Schalke? Hasn't he, that Yarmolenko?
Has he?
No, wasn't he?
He's still at Kiev.
Sevilla. No, he left there. He's at Sevilla now, isn't he? Oh, no, that's not Yarmolenko. That's Conor Blyanka. That's the other one.
That's another one from the book.
No, Yarmolenko's still in Kiev, yeah. I got him muddled up.
Yeah, no, there's three contracts in the draw at Everton with his name on it because that's how close we got to signing Yarmolenko. But Moussa Sissoko was basically a last minute shit. We've got money in the bank, let's spend it.
Yeah,
and that was that really. So,
have your new owners actually? Because I know you spent that money on Bolasie, but have you, the new sort of investors actually started putting money in? Is it? Have you noticed an improvement? Because the Schneidlin deal's a good buy.
Yeah, Schneidlin's good. Yeah, he's cleared the debt by giving us an interest free loan with no repayment date on it.
Yeah.
So there's no the club's got essentially no debt.
You're going to do up the stadium as well, aren't you?
We're going to move.
Is it the one on the docks that they were saying?
That's the one.
Yeah, the Bramley Moor Dock. But the area for North Liverpool there's development requirements down there anyway. And the reports are, from the City Council, the reports are there's a £55 billion worth of redevelopment area that they can use there. Then that's including like retail, leisure, hotels, stuff like that. And our mayor, Joe Anderson, took a delegation over to Cannes where the MMIP was. And everyone thought that the ground was going to get announced like because he went there. But that's every year. You go over, you send your city, your development, your architects, and all them over to this MMIP thing, wherever it may be. It changes each year in its location. And you basically sell off what you've got available, saying, come here. We're building a new cruise line terminal on the same area as where the docks are. So if the ground goes where they're saying on the Bramley Moor Dock, the cruise liner terminal is going to be almost next to it. So the first thing you'll see as you come into Liverpool out of the Mersey Bay is basically Everton's football ground. So aiming for that as redevelopment and putting the ground there is going to be a massive, massive bonus to Everton.
There's been loads of discussion because I think your new stadium's been dragging on for as long as ours has. At least ours is actually in ground and starting to take shape now. But I remember there was all that talk of, it might have even been Hicks and Gelato and Liverpool, that they were going to build an entirely new ground on, is it Stanley Park?
Yeah.
And they've ended up just building a new main stand, which means that whenever you watch a game on TV, it looks like you're watching midgets run around. It's horrible.
I mean, with the stadium and stuff, I mean, they're talking about lots of involvement with the fans. How much involvement did Spurs fans get with the new ground?
Ours is fairly good because we've got a very good and very active supporters trust who have sort of, is it biannual meetings with them, Jack?
I think so,
They're essentially, they're very active within the fan base and they listen to sort of concerns and they take
get a load of shit from people constantly.
People accuse them that all they're in it for is free biscuits and that, and you're like, these people have got jobs and then they do all this shit on top of it to make sure that, you know, when stuff happens at the club, you're not sat there with your dick in your hand afterwards going, what's happened here? You know, the invaluable resource. But yeah, they've been really good. I mean, sort of the way the club have sold the design is is that it's going to, they're trying their best to replicate the atmosphere that's at White Hart Lane because it's so close and packed in. So the stands are going to be like closer to the actual touchline than any comparative stadium of that size. And I think they're working with sort of people who work in opera arenas and that to make sure that the roof held acoustics, and there's going to be a single tier stand of 17,000 at one end. That they could turn into a safe standing section as well if legislation changes and the law allows us to. So it's going to be sort of, you know, how the Dortmund wall is there, but yeah, even bigger than that. So they've been really good. I mean, there are exceptions to that. I mean, the NFL is going to be playing two games a year there. The pitch slides out. There'll be sort of concerts there. Your pop acts will be playing. Coldplay will do a gig there once a year, probably now.
A lot of the focus as well has all been on the, I think the
corporates as well. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's been quite disappointing. I mean, not in respect to that exists, but
it's the way
club,
they've handled it though, isn't it?
Exactly. The club have been so active in promoting all these kind of things that, to be honest, 90% of the fans are never going to get to experience ever, because you know, it's going to be £500 a ticket to go. And yeah, they've got this thing, the Tunnel Club, where it's it's going to be the tunnel itself is going to have a two-way mirror or whatever, and you can sit in there and see a load of footballers play with their bollocks before they go out. And
you'd have to remodel your house 10 times to get like a foot in the door there as well.
You're going to have people up against the window touching themselves, aren't you?
But it's, you know, they do. There's that Sky Lounge as well that they're going to have as well. But me and Jack were talking about this not long ago, and it's, as he says, it's not the fact that these things exist, because the way football's going, the way these clubs make their money, it's sort of, it's a trade off that you sort of have to make. Otherwise, you have to give the game up. But it's the fact that they've been selling all this through like the official club account and like posting pictures on their Instagram, when that's sort of, fans want to just see pictures of Harry Kane scoring a goal or training pictures. They don't want that side of the game rubbed in their face. They could have sold it just as easily, quietly on the side to businesses.
Exactly.
You know, brought them in, showed them the pictures of what it's going to be like, sell them their 10-year sort of corporate sponsorship, and, you know, put their name on their box or whatever, and say, you get your 5-course dinner here for however many years you pay for it. But it's the fact that they've sort of, it's just been so explicit that's been slightly strange. But it's just one of, as we say, it's one of those trade-offs. I mean, how do you guys sort of view White Hart Lane to the new ground? Does it make you sort of worried about how quickly Tottenham are going to grow? Are you sad to see another stadium go? Does it make you guys think about Goodison going? Because, you know, with the way Upton Park's gone, and the fact that that's been levelled and they're playing in this retrofitted dome of shite, you know, it makes you think twice about, you know, grass being green.
Well, the fact that we've become so fucking unstoppable at White Hart Lane and now we're knocking it down.
So that's the thing as well. I mean, I think the way that you've done it and building it so close and, well, basically on top of White Hart Lane is really, really good. I think that's the first option that most supporters of any club would want, is if we build a new stadium, it's got to be pretty much where the old one is. And I think Arsenal did, you know, just up the road as well. The only thing I think that would bother me, I mean, obviously as an Evertonian, is if I was a Spurs fan and looking at the new ground, is that it looks really similar to the Emirates.
I mean, it's that general bowl shape.
But it's the sweeping nature of the roof as well. And you think, you know, the single tier at one end is going to be good.
It looks more like a steel toilet from the top than it does the Emirates. Because the Emirates has that, you know, like a prison toilet. That's what it reminds me of.
Well, the Emirates is exactly, it's an identikit of Benfica's, isn't it? Like, the same stadium.
They've got all that sort of white scaffolding and stuff, don't they, on top of theirs, which ours doesn't have. But it's the same general shape, because I think that's sort of what
fucking
people agree on has been.
I think for any new Everton stadium, I think most people wouldn't want it to be a bowl.
No.
Most people want four distinct stands to be big, like the Cologne stadium out there. You know, it's nice and big. It's a rectangle, or one of the big American football stadiums that looks a bit industrial, that looks a bit different. And obviously, you know, keeping the crowd close to the pitch, nice steep rakes on it. I think the opera sort of comparison is because at the theatre, you have more seats in the front row than you have in the back row. And the seats are tighter together so that you get all the atmosphere from the front, and then the back kind of joins in, and you get the feeling from the front rows, because that's where the stage can see, and obviously that's where the pitch can pick up from.
Yeah. I think Daniel Levy's actually might been micromanaging that as well, because he's been sort of essentially the long game for him is that he can sell the club for a maximum profit. So he wants the best. He wants the place to be full. And he wants the fans to be happy with it, so that he's got the best possible product to sell at the end of it. And I think one of the things I read was
that stands a businessman though, isn't it? That's what you want. That's what I want as a fan. I want Everton to be not so much a product, but a part of a product that's massive. Do you get what I mean?
I mean, you only call it a product in that as because that's the language they'll use. I mean, it's completely different to us, but that's the way they'll view the club essentially as being a commodity. It's the thing I always compare it to is people who buy a second house to do up, you know, a shitting for sort of 50 grand and try and flip it for double.
Yeah.
New bathroom in and that sort of a thing. But it's that on a larger scale, essentially.
Yeah.
But, you know, hopefully that results in it. But I've just, I Googled what sort of the knock-ups of your new ground is, and it looks a bit like a bowl. I mean, it's on the Echo website, so I don't know how reliable it is. But
it's called the
Liverpool Echo for a reason.
Yeah, I mean, I think what they've done there is they've taken a generic stadium and put the Everton badge on it and then put it on Bramley Moor Dock.
It'd be nice being involved. It that close to the water, though, because sort of the riverside at Middlesbrough is nice to go to because it's sort of got that identity. Craven Cottage as well.
Craven Cottage, and I think there's so many possibilities as well, because it's an actual dock that we're going to be using. So that I don't want the club to fill the dock in. I want them to build a plinth over it so that one of the VIP, you know, things can be that you sail into the ground and you get off underneath and walk up some stairs into your corporate box, and they can charge whatever.
And the canal goes underneath it as well. The Leeds Liverpool canal goes right underneath it as well. So,
you know, the teams could arrive by boat. It'd be brilliant. You can just imagine watching Real Madrid rowing across the Mersey to get to the ground.
Going past your house.
So if anyone gets too pissed on a match day, then they'll end up in the canal.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
That's some selection now, don't it?
But is it, you'll miss Goodison though, obviously, won't you? Because it's got akin to White Hart Lane in the shape and the fact that, you know, your one of your stands essentially is almost identical to our shelf stand.
It'll be the saddest day when we leave Goodison Park, and it really will. As long as we're leaving for the right stadium, though, then that'll make it better. But if, you know,
as long as it's not a tacky leaving ceremony like the West Ham one, because, you know, we were talking about the supporters trust. One of the things I read in their minutes from the last one was that they were pushing the club to make sure they had appropriate arrangements in mind for the farewell to White Hart Lane, because after you watch the black cabs and the sort of the fireworks and the tackiness of whatever the hell West Ham thought they were doing at Upton Park.
Do you know what I quite like is just for the final whistle to go, grand old team to be played because we've won, and then the lights go off.
That's exactly what I want. Perfect. Lights go off, fella standing in the centre circle with a torch.
No, just the floodlights go off. Leave the stand lights on. Let people stay as long as they want. Let people onto the pitch. Just let them do what they like. You know, take tents with you, whatever. But just not have any of that trotting out the World Cup and trotting out whatever else. Just, you know, we finished playing here. And maybe have the big screens on with match footage from the previous 125.
Well, you just brought up my next subject for the fans for them anyway, so cheers for it.
You see, Borley's on the equivalent of the Supporters Trust. It's the fans forum that meet with the club every now and then. He's complaining about tickets being sold in the wrong seats next to me. And now he's going to do the leaving ceremony for Goodison Park.
It's something to think about, though, genuinely. The last thing you want is for sort of you have tainted memories of your last game there.
No. And it's got, I think they've got to orchestrate it so it's against Liverpool, and they've got to orchestrate it so we play a 1-0-9 formation so that we just wallop them about 53-10. You know.
Is it not too much pressure, though, having them as your last game? Because if, you know, in the darkest timeline, if somehow you lose on the last game to Liverpool at Goodison, do you not just want a banker? Just to...
No, it'd just be a fucking standard day of playing Liverpool at Goodison, wouldn't it? It wasn't.
And, you know, we can always orchestrate it so people run on the pitch and distract them.
Do you reckon they'll let me back in the family enclosure for that?
What do you make of Koeman, by the way, Bawley? Because I know you've taken a shine into Everton's past couple of managers. Has it been any different with Koeman in charge?
Right, this is going to sound like I just hate every fucking Everton manager. Now. I've had this conversation with Si. I like what he's doing, but he's not one of us.
No, I was about to say my one concern with him is that he's a career man, isn't he? He's looking for his next job already.
He's not one of us.
And he was looking for his next job before he came here.
Because you know, I think it's because I don't know. I'm sure you'll probably agree with me. We've been able to have a lot of contact with our previous two managers. You know what I mean? And they were good with the fans. Now Koeman shuts everyone out. Now. Last Saturday, when we put the megaphones out and stuff.
We
set up a little promotion to try and get the atmosphere going at Goodison because it's been shite. I've been bringing a megaphone to the match. So if you Google megaphone man at Everton, it's me.
Not like that MLS melt, is it?
No.
It's just me. It's me standing by myself with a megaphone shouting at the Gladys Street, essentially.
I'm Googling this now. Good, Goodison megaphone, man.
Yeah, you'll see a 9-second video of me. So, I've done that a few games ago. And then last Saturday against, who was it?
Sunderland,
yeah. Come on, fuck that. I'll share that. We filled the whole of the family enclosure with rolled up things called mega cones and free t-shirts. And I went into Gladys Street with a megaphone. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
So I've forgotten where I was going with this now.
Koeman locks everyone out.
Oh, yeah.
I'm seeing footy accumulators taking the piss out of you at the moment.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, mate. Yeah, they tried to take the piss out of me until I said it was me. On Twitter, and then everyone was like, "Oh, all right, Bawley, lads, yeah."
It's just run by some virgin with a shit sense of humour, so
yeah.
I'll just Google it now. Is that you in a green blue jacket?
Yeah, that's me.
Listen to it.
I had to be there. We had to be there at like 10 o'clock in the morning and be gone by 1 o'clock because Koeman just won't have anyone in the ground. Unless it's staff, do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
I think we've got used to the likes of Moyes and Martinez allowing us in and allowing us access.
I think I should step in there and just say that it wasn't Moyes, it was Martinez that let people in. Moyes didn't like humans.
You still got more access with him, though. He was more accessible to fans, Moyes.
Yeah. I think Koeman is there to do a job, and the job that he's there to do is further his career. And, you know, if that takes Everton forward, fair enough. But the next manager we get in has to be someone who, I don't want to say believes in the project, because shit. It's got to be someone who wants to be Everton manager.
Bawley, if you were given the task of going out and recruiting, you get to pick it's your choice and your choice alone. Who do you hire?
Oh, fuck.
I think he said Howard Kendall last time I asked you.
I can't get him now, can I? And you know what? I wouldn't know. Right at this very minute, I wouldn't know. No, I've no idea. I haven't even. Because all
you
I'm
want
concerned.
Somebody young in
would
English,
you have Arsene Wenger?
No, Wenger. No.
What's club?
Do you know Arsene Wenger would probably get you in the top four? I reckon though.
But he drew me head into his fucking coat up all the time and with that stupid fucking long bookend face. Fucking.
Did you have a look at someone like Eddie Howe, maybe?
No. Sorry, I answered that for me because he knows.
Because he's essentially sort of the English Martinez at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I don't know. I genuinely don't know because I'd have to have a look.
I'd take Di Matteo.
Would you?
Roberto Di Matteo?
Yeah.
He's not a football manager.
The one that won the Champions League, the Europa League with Chelsea.
The Chelsea players won the Champions League. Roberto Di Matteo stood there and looked pretty as they managed themselves. I'm being serious about that as well. He did chuff all. I think he had one good stint at West Brom. Yeah. He absolutely shat himself at Aston Villa.
Yeah.
He made an arse of himself at Schalke. And he was at MK Dons as well, which sort of gives you a measure of your man if you can.
I go left field. I've had a little think about it. I'll go left field, and Sire probably loved this, but Duncan Ferguson.
but why don't you? Am I allowed to ask why you don't like him?
I didn't like him as a player at all. But since he's been put on the coaching staff and what he's doing with the lads and the kids. I'm working alongside Unsworth and Koeman, then he's sort of growing on me on that part, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but he's the original BBC man, isn't he? He's the bibs, balls and cones man. That's all he does, is he puts the bibs, balls and cones out.
A bit of
a
Tim Sherwood.
He's definitely Tim Sherwood and a different coloured vest.
No, he's never, ever a manager. Duncan.
I was taking the piss.
Just don't even say it as a joke.
Imagine me turning up to Goodison as Duncan Ferguson, the manager. Imagine the fucking, no.
Just as long as you don't try and rob his house, you'll be all right.
Oh, like, fucking hell.
Do you know what? If we're going to have Duncan Ferguson as manager, can we just have Paul Ince as his assistant then? That's how ridiculous that suggestion is, and people genuinely come out with this shit as well.
I think my favorite part of Paul Ince's managerial career was that video. I think it was Soccer AM did it when they added the tennis ball being hit noises to some of his interviews. He always looks left and right whenever he is talking. I find it's quite funny actually. But
do you know what? All right, go on. If we're taking the piss now with Duncan Ferguson, I'm going to go with my choice.
Come on,
Ian Holloway.
Go fuck off, you. Just so you can do impressions of him. Fuck off.
Do you know what, how funny would that be? Ian Holloway managing a top four club. He would be the most... Imagine him doing the press conferences for the Champions League games.
Have you heard the story about why it was he did that interview? Do you remember the one time he had an interview about they'd fluke to win somewhere? I think it was at QPR. And he was on about taking home a lass who's not the best looking at the end of the day and take a lass home. Apparently he only said that because there were stories and rumblings. The press wanted to ask him about one of his players. I can't remember who it was that was sort of struggling off the field with like alcoholism or something. So there was like a mini sort of scandal brewing in the background. So he thought, I've got to say something here to distract them.
Yeah.
And sort of, if I make a big enough ass out of myself, they won't ask about what they want to ask about.
Oh,
I make myself the story. So, I always thought he was an ass. He is an ass as well, because the start of the season, Sky had him as their championship expert, and he said Huddersfield will get relegated on the door of the Premier League. So... David Wagner would be a fantastic manager at Everton, by the way. If you want a good manager, you get Jurgen Klopp's best mate in, and he's a better manager than Klopp is.
No association, thanks, folks, because I'm fucking... No, not a chance.
See, the thing, Holloway there has taken a leaf out of Mourinho's book, hasn't he? When Ashley Cole was the subject of everything, and Mourinho just sat there and went, I'm the chosen one, I'm the special one, and just made the story all about him. So, you know, I think Holloway's got a little bit of the Mourinho in him.
I think that's very kind.
Just while you were chatting shit about fucking stupid manners. He's Ian Holloway, for fuck's sake. Mr. Gaz, who's one of your Spurs guys who follows us on Twitter. What's going on these days in Liverpool Lidl?
I think this is a good note to end on. Do you want to fill us in, Bally, with you? Has there been any other scraps in Lidl you've had?
I didn't have a scrap size there to say. We'll testify that I didn't actually hit anyone.
No, you shit yourself. Me and your brother had to go outside and make sure he wasn't waiting for you. You shit house.
For those who didn't know, I got approached by a guy in Lidl and I still didn't know who he was. And then when I said no, he said, good, fucking keep it that way. This guy was about 5'3" and bald and 67.
What was Seb doing in Liverpool?
No, he was way older than Seb. Hey, leave Seb alone. He's a good looking lad.
Did you take a shine to him?
Only his cardigan that he has on.
He gets angry when we talk about him when he's not on, when he's not able to defend himself.
He's got it's the grey card he's wearing in his profile pic.
I like that cardigan.
Yeah, I'll have to
tag you in some of the pictures when he first, because you know he used to be the Premier League owl, and then he unmasked himself and he put his face up on his little avi, and then I started basically.
No, what you should do is I've collated them all in one place. If you go on the Roos Twitter account and just go onto our profile, click onto it, and then have a look on where it says likes. We've liked 20 things in our entire existence, and they're all essentially photoshops of Seb.
I'm going on it now.
There's like three different Donald Trumps. There's one of him. He once said that he wanted to sell Hung Min Son. So somebody's done one of Son shooting him in Vietnam. There's one of him, Thierry Henry, and Sol Campbell holding dildos.
I like the Raji Baines is having a party.
Yeah.
What the fuck is the Donald Trump one? Looks like the shittest fate swap in the world. We should have just looked at these pictures. Fucking hell.
Sorry, poor Hollywood.
Where's Paul Hollywood?
Yeah, the Paul Hollywood one's good. He's a dirty boy. The
Allardyce one. Love it.
Purple dildos with Thierry.
We put him in the Spurs fan.
He's got a purple dildo from the Evertonians outside French Farm.
There's that Spurred On one that someone made because he wrote that piece, didn't he? Saying that fan TV channels were a disgrace, so somebody put him in that. But yeah,
I've just got to the Paul Hollywood one. Come here, man, I put me bun in your oven.
Have you seen that that photo of Paul Hollywood like for a cooking book or something? He's got where he's sprinkling out flour in the most flamboyant manner you can ever wish to see.
They're fucking quality, them boys.
Yeah,
Paul Hollywood one's killing me. I can't look at that no more.
He does almost everything in a flamboyant style, doesn't he? The tattoo reveal a la Duncan Ferguson in a bit of a camp way. I've got Google Images up of Paul Hollywood now, and for some reason there's a gingerbread on it. He's got a skateboard in one of them. Paul Hollywood.
Oh, the one where he's got the hoodie in the skate. Yeah, it's a real, like, hey, kids, isn't it?
He looks like Jeremy Corbyn.
Have you seen the one with the fucking, with the Black Forest Castle?
Yeah.
I've just tweeted you on now, which is my personal favourite. It's the one that looks like he's about to have a big Saturday night.
Superb. Right. We'll retweet that one and no one will know why until they listen to the podcast.
It's gone, I've done it. Oh, no, I've done it off mine, not yours.
Off the other, so no one.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Anyway.
Right, lads, just to get your prediction before the end, are Spurs going to win the league?
Right. I thought you were going to ask for a score for next season. Yes.
The answer is yes. And there's prediction for next season because it'll be at Wembley, won't it?
Oh, yeah, fuck. We'll lose.
Then we're going to win 5-0.
Oh,
is
mate.
That the first time you've played at the new Wembley?
No. It'll be the 5th.
Have you got to a couple of... Oh, you've got to cup semis a few times, haven't you?
Yeah, so it'll be the 5th.
Have you lost there as many times as we have then, basically?
I don't think anyone's lost there as many times as we have, Jack.
We've lost 3 out of 4, so yeah, maybe. Yeah. And we won the other one on penalties, so that wasn't even a win.
Have we only... I think when we've won like 2 games there ever.
Why am I still looking at pictures of Paul fucking Hollywood?
What cocky I want you nads. To do, Bolly, is to get you send your plain flour out of your kitchen cupboard and recreate all the pictures yourself.
Say you know what we're doing next week, Mel.
Yeah. Yep, we're doing it.
Please do it. Please do it and tweet it to us.
You've got to have the same grin on your face as you've chucking flour about the shop.
Yeah, I've actually got that shirt as well.
Yeah, like your shirt's going to go anywhere near me.
Sounds
right. All right, let's kill this shite then. Thanks for coming on, lads.
No worries, boys.
Always appreciated. We've actually talked fuck all about football today, really, but that's always the best way to do it with wine. So who cares? And if you do want to listen to any of the previous episodes, do so on Acast or iTunes. And follow us at RTR_pod because we tweet pictures.
Jack's not any more fucking bored there.
I'm not. I'm a bit pissed actually.
Oh, well, there you go.
Background.
Full level. There's a cafe on the road.
Right.
Back on having your evening whiskies.
No, I've been on the red wine actually. I've stopped recording.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.